City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the SIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Welcome on in. This is a hump day installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. And that blonde-haired guy with the dangly earrings, he'll be joining us live in studio towards the bottom of the hour. That's one Keegan Mountain. Looking forward to catching up with Agent Zero, Northern State University Wolves cornerback, defensive back. Had himself a really, really fine year this last year, tying the lead in the conference in terms of interceptions. First team all-conference guy, jumped into the transfer portal for about a cup of coffee, then said, you know what, I think home is back in the 605. We'll catch up with Keegan Mountain towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that discussion there with him. We'll get to the jump here very, very shortly as well. A lot to get to today on this Wednesday installment of the Sports Hub. Aberdeen Smitty's baseball, they are finally returning home tomorrow. They just snuck in two more games just for good measure there yesterday on the road, so bringing their grand total to 14 straight road games. And it was a nice split there for them yesterday down south in Sioux Falls. We'll have some more details about that. The Sisseton Post 50 squad was in action yesterday against the Badgers. They would split with them. The Aberdeen Circus, they were also in the mix, taking on the Redfield Dairy Queen squad. They fell to them, I believe it was about a week or so ago. They returned the favor there last night. More details about that later on in the show as well. SDGA Junior Tour, that was going on yesterday with the Northeast leg at Lee Park. Of course, on Monday, that was out at Moccasin Creek Country Club. And oh, by the way, just for good measure, the Minnesota Twins, they lose yet again yesterday, and now bringing their grand total to, looks like, five straight losses and losers of 15 of their last 18 games. But don't worry, things are going to turn around. Maybe. We'll see. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure, the Cobra. Happy Wednesday, sir. How are you?
Doing good. How about yourself?
Doing well. You know, I was really thinking about tossing on the red shirt today, and I went with blue instead. Missed opportunity.
We matched, what day was it?
Monday.
Yeah, we matched yesterday with the green shirts.
That was, Monday's installment of the show. We were rocking the green, you know, especially on a Monday. We were thinking, oh, green is a color that makes you feel good. So we rocked with that yesterday and had a fun episode on Tuesday of the Sports Hub, catching up with Clayton Randall. And I'm still kind of basking in the glow of that episode, man. It was just a lot of fun catching up with him. And we were talking off the air. This really wasn't widely reported. We never saw any release or anything like that from the school or from anywhere else, really. It's not to say it's not out there. We just didn't see it. Maybe that's the algorithm. Maybe it's not. But I don't know. I feel like we're doing some big J journalism, as they say yesterday, breaking some news, huh?
Yeah, for sure. Didn't hear much about it. Did see it is official on Varsity Bound now.
Yes.
So I did see that, saw his name there. And yeah, man, really fun episode getting his perspective on where to start with the program like Northwestern, right? Obviously, he's been in different parts, Faulkton, Harriet Selby, those kinds of places, and learning under those guys. Jeff Costers, another name I forgot to mention there yesterday towards the back half of the show when we left and we were talking about Northwestern football. So we'll see what happens there that first year. And it was just a really fun episode hearing his perspective. And he used the word probably 10 to 15 times, coachable. And that's what he's really looking for this year, finding guys that are coachable. He said they've been having those open fields, which I think is great, those like 7-on-7 type deals. That's what we used to call them when I played. And getting kids out for that is very important. And it sounds to me that the kids there at Northwestern, they want to be coached. That's great to hear.
No doubt about it. So hopefully, if you got a chance to catch up with that episode yesterday, that's awesome. If you did not, you can check it out on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page. We wrote up a story about that as well on HubCityRadio.com. So we'll keep our eyes to Millett throughout the season. And I was driving around town yesterday with my wife, and we were talking about the show. And I said, man, I just really wish they had an easier schedule, because it is not easy at all. Every single game on there, with the exception of maybe one or two, are going to be really, really tough to compete against, because their first game of the season is against the defending 9B state champs and Sully Buttes.
It's just the way that stuff like that works, it seems like, isn't it? They got a tough start to the schedule, a couple games in there that you said, hey, can they really compete in? And then they wrap up the season with Warner, Loyola, Frederick, and Faulkton.
Yeah.
That's a tough schedule, man.
It really is. So they've been baptized with that, for sure. Speaking of baptized, my daughter's getting baptized this weekend. So shout out to her. Yeah, good stuff. All right, he's the Cobra. We call him just that. Let's get to the jump here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And we talked about it last week, but just wanted to toss this out there as well. A little housekeeping note, the Hub City Triathlon, once again, that's this upcoming Saturday. If you've not already signed up for that, would encourage you to do so. Oh, Tukes, I'm not a runner. Oh, that's all right. You can coach somebody else up. Somebody else can run on your team. You could be the swimmer or the bike rider or something like that. Again, it's the Hub City Triathlon this Saturday there at Dombey Lake. Race time begins at 8 o'clock this morning. Register today, HubCityTriathlon.com. That's HubCityTriathlon.com. And that's what I'm using as my excuse. My daughter is actually getting baptized here this weekend. We've got some friends coming in from Wisconsin. So
sweet.
I'm ineligible for the triathlon. If it was any other weekend, I might have to give it a shot.
Well, shout out to your daughter kicking Original Sin's butt there with the baptizing.
Yeah.
So big shout out there. And this is just a great opportunity with the Hub City Triathlon. This is like a new wave of fitness. Influencers have really picked up this style of training. Just they call it hybrid athletes, being able to lift weights, also be able to run, swim, and bike. It's just a new wave, very popular right now. And if you're interested in it, it's just a great beginner type thing to kind of get your feet wet in something like this. I mean, we talked to, why am I blanking on his name?
Todd Thorson.
Todd Thorson, thank you,
yep.
Last week. And you could just, he said, hey, I did his first triathlon in Iowa, and he says he's in the best shape of his life. So definitely cool opportunity there on Saturday. They got the whole thing mapped out. Looking forward to it.
Looking forward to that indeed. HubCityTriathlon.com. And like you mentioned, anybody can do it. If you're thinking to yourself, that sounds really, really intimidating, triathlon, there's a beginner level. So don't be intimidated. Again, check it out, HubCityTriathlon.com. It is this Saturday right across the way from us here at Hub City Radio at Dombey Lake. So one guy that we've been talking a lot about, mostly off the air, but sometimes on the air, is a gentleman by the name of Pete Crow Armstrong, Chicago Cubs center fielder. He's had an incredible start to his season. He is hitting for power. He's stealing bases. He's got a nice batting average. He's just doing everything under the sun right until last night. And I don't know if you saw this or not, but the Cubs are playing the Cardinals there last night. Is it still Busch Stadium over there?
I think it is.
Yeah. I know it's not the same Busch Stadium as it was from, you know, the 90s and early 2000s, but I think it's still Busch Stadium. But anyways, game's going on last night. Pete Crow Armstrong catches a routine fly ball in center field there, bottom of the fourth inning. All right, that's cool. And he kind of allowed it. Hold on a minute. There is not two outs. The inning is not over. He makes the catch, kind of lollygags it back into the infield. But there was only one out, and a guy actually scored from second base on the play. And oh, by the way, if that's not bad enough, the Cubs lose the game 8-7.
Yeah.
So the Cubs lose the game by one run on a player that just wasn't locked in. We talk about this all the time. Doesn't matter what level of play. We're talking Smitty's, college baseball, MLB, you got to stay locked in. It sounds elementary, but you got to know how many outs there are. You just have to.
Yeah, that's a mistake that just can't happen, really, at any level. You got to know how many outs there are. Made a nice play. I mean, the ball was hit to the warning track, but like you said, he kind of lollygagged in there. He didn't know how many outs there were. And the heads-up play by the base runner, you got to give him a lot of credit, too. He saw him kind of just nonchalantly throwing it in and was able to not just get to third but score on that. And that's a mistake from Crow Armstrong there that he's going to have to learn from, and it really can't happen again. You just can't have that in a game against a division rival. I mean, this is Cubs-Cardinals here. This is a big-time rivalry in Major League Baseball. That's a bad way to end up losing the game. Now, that happened early in the game. They came back and had a chance, but that was the play that was the difference in the game when you look at the final score.
No doubt about it. And how many times do we talk about baseball? It's coming down to the final week. These are big games coming up. What if they lose the division by one game? I hope that's not the case. Me being a Cubs fan, I'm rooting for them to take care of business against the rest of the Central. But God forbid it comes down to the final weekend. Let's say you lose out on one game, and people are probably not going to remember about it, but you and I will. Here we are, end of June. Remember that play? Never go fill Milton Bradley. That's not something you want to do.
Hey, at least he didn't throw the ball into the
crowd.
Stands.
Yeah.
Didn't Cliff Floyd do that? I feel like he did that.
He might have done something like that too, yeah.
Yeah, he like didn't know how many outs there were and threw the ball in the crowd as a souvenir. I'm glad he didn't do that, but I don't know. Cubs-Cardinals, big rivalry. Got to know how many outs there are, man. You can't have that mistake in that game.
100%. My question to you is, what's worse? Something like that happening, or the wide receiver or running back, some offensive player, that's kind of lollygagging it into the end zone, and then they get it punched out from behind, the ball goes through the back of the end zone for the touchback? Those drive me crazy.
That's tough. I think I'd probably go the wide receiver getting it punched out when they're got a wide open for the touchdown. I think that's worse for me, because I just feel like every game, I'm not saying that every game doesn't matter in baseball, but you play 162 of them. You only got 17 in the NFL. And when that stuff happens, it's just absolutely killer.
DeSean Jackson dropping the ball right before the goal line happens all the time. It happened in a Seahawks-Cowboys game back in 2020. DK Metcalf just lollygagging across the plane, and then it got punched out right before he broke the plane. So, yeah, plays like that drive me nuts. And it shouldn't happen. We talk about it all the time. You are a pro athlete. You're making millions of dollars. Hustle. Finish the play.
Celebrate when you get in the end zone.
Yeah. That's just it. Finish the play. Not to go back to Clayton Randle, but we were talking about it yesterday. Every play has a start and a finish. Finish the play.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of times these pro athletes, they just don't finish the play. So pretty wild how that works out. Speaking of players that don't finish the play, one of these guys that was on your team last year, the Baltimore Ravens, Diontae Johnson, wide receiver. Boy, what a complete cluster it was last year for him. There was one game where he said, "I'm not going back in because it was too cold outside." It was too cold. It was, and I quote, ice cold. Ice cold. You know how warm it was? 41 degrees. So, of course, the Ravens, they cut ties. So, naturally, he signs with the Cleveland Browns this year.
Probably even colder there.
Probably even colder in Cleveland. So, good luck with that. Good luck with that. And finally, before our next break in the action, talk some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball. This came across my feed, and I thought this was a really cool idea. It's a simple method. It could solve an issue. At the first tee at this golf course, doesn't say where this is, it's just a screenshot, but it has a title that says Recommended Tees by Score. Of course, you got the white tees, the blue tees, the red tees, sometimes people play on the gold tees, those sorts of things. If you are really, really not a good golfer, you probably shouldn't be playing from the tips, but it says, you know, your recommended score by tees. You know, if you play from the white tees, you should score between 81 and 90. If you play from the gold tees, you should score between 91 and 100. If you are playing from the red, you're probably north of 100. If you're not a good golfer, you probably shouldn't be playing from the most difficult pin placement, not pin placement, but tee box, as it were. By playing from the appropriate tees, everybody can help maintain a good pace of play and enjoy the game more. I thought that's an interesting idea.
And that's not a bad idea. Rule of thumb, I feel like if you're a golfer who plays a little bit, is the white tees. But that's not a bad idea at all, because you do see pace of play being a problem. If you move up a little bit, make it a little bit easier. Like for me, in that situation, if I was playing that golf course, I'd probably still play the whites just because of my ego. That's a big reason why. Like, I'm not playing from the golds, playing from the whites, all right? Anyway, I do see that because there are guys that maybe first time touching a golf club all season that are playing from the tips, and you're like, hey, buddy, could you play from the golds or the reds or something like that? Because I don't want to be sitting here every hole waiting for you to hit a shot.
100%. I like that, probably because of my ego. I'm right there with you. I think I'd probably play from the whites more often than not because sometimes I'm bombing at 270. You just never know when that shot's going to happen. It's probably not going to happen anytime soon, but sometimes it does.
My brother is a big yardage guy. He'll, like, look at the yards. And, like, one time we're playing this course, and I'm like, oh, we're going to play from the whites. And he's like, oh, actually, looking at the yardage, we're going to play from the blues. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? It's making it harder for me. Let's just play from the whites. Everybody does it. Oh, the yardage says we need to be playing from the blues. I'm like, get out of here, man. Please.
I've never met your brother, but I feel like he's a guy I would get along with quite well, for sure. Big shout out to him. All right, upcoming next, we're going to talk some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball. They were down south yesterday in Sioux Falls. 14 straight games for them on the road before tomorrow. They're back at home at Fossum Field. Looking forward to that discussion about the squad there from yesterday. And then towards the bottom of the hour, Keegan Mountain. He'll be joining us right here in studio live on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Follow us on the X there at Fox Sports, 1420 AM, at @_Cobra66, at David Tewksbury. And our next guest live in studio, Bump and Run MTN. Of course, the MTN stands for Mountain. We're calling an audible. I mean, we called that we're going to do some Aberdeen Smitty's baseball talk. We'll do that towards the back half of the hour, but that's football. You know, you just call audibles, and sometimes guests get here a little bit early. Better early than late. No question about it. We'll take it. Keegan Mountain in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed. Grateful to be here.
Absolutely. Great to have you here in studio. And I mentioned that you're a part of the show. You're part of our intro of the show, talking about the dangly earring and the blonde hair. Now, you got a couple earrings in now, but no more blonde hair. Is this the natural color, correct?
Yep, this is a natural color, and I added two piercings, one on each side. That was took some convincing from my girlfriend, but we're here.
You're here. You know what? You look like a guy that would be on, like, Love Island or something like that.
Everyone always says that. I don't know if that's a compliment or probably not, but could be.
My wife and I are really into Love Island. Let me rephrase. My wife is really into Love Island. I just happened to watch the show with her, and you look like a guy that would fit hand in glove on that show.
Yeah.
Well, Gabe has been talking about that for years.
Yeah,
he
they
wants
love
to be
that.
On that show.
Yeah, I can't.
Can't
Not
do
me.
It?
Not me.
All right. Well, you got a girlfriend now. Okay. Very, very good. So, great season this last year as a sophomore. Let's take a look at this last season that was. You guys got off to a kind of a slow start. The team did. But an incredible finish. How do you kind of look back at the 24th season overall?
I mean, like you said, it was a great finish. I just wish we started a little hotter. I think we were a super young team, and we didn't know our identity. We were playing super tense towards the beginning of the year, and, you know, once our backs were against the wall and we were 0-4, we kind of realized, like, let's just go out there and play hard. Like, we might not have been that talented at some spots, but we just played hard, and we played for each other and trusted each other, and that's when we found our success. So I just want to carry that into this year and realize, like Coach Schmidt says it all the time, like, we can't forget 0-4 because that's when we found our identity. So now that we have our identity, to the boundary on defense, me, Charlie Larson, we called it street fighting because that's really just what we're out there doing, just hitting, just playing fast. And I want our whole team to be able to fit that identity. So that's how we found our success, and we just got to keep that going.
I talked on the show a lot about you're kind of like a ball magnet out there. You had 5 interceptions a season ago, and, you know, sometimes you have opportunities as a defensive back to make those plays, and, you know, you're unable to catch it, but you were able to have 5 total picks. I mean, talk about being able to cash in on those opportunities, because 5 picks in a year as a DB, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah, I'm grateful to play in a defense where we're playing a lot of zone coverage, so our eyes are on the quarterback, so I get to be in lanes of overthrows and tips balls, and I'm in a lot better of a position to pick balls off than go for pass breakups, which is the better thing. You know, why not get the ball to our offense rather than just breaking it up and going to the next down? So, you know, we've got a lot of ball hawks on defense, and I just got lucky to be in the right spot and trusted the guys around me, and the plays came to me.
And probably one in particular that really jumped off the page was the Duluth one. You basically ran the route for the wide receiver, and also the one in Wayne where he basically stole the ball from the tight end. Those were plays that I'll never forget personally as a play-by-play guy. Do you have a favorite one from last year?
Probably the Wayne one, because it's a textbook play. You know, he pushed me, so I pulled his arm, and I don't know how I did it. Like, I don't remember those 5 seconds of the play. I just remembered I had the ball, and that was it. But I like them all, you know. Augie, we were down a bit, so that one I don't like very much. The Southwest one I really like because that was a touchdown, but we were also up a bit. Duluth was huge, but I'd have to say Wayne.
For sure. And the defensive backs as a unit, you know, you say you play a lot of a zone defense. You got to be on the same page, communication, things of that. Do you feel like last year you guys were all on the same page? And how do you get better at that as the season moves along? Is it just simple as, hey, we're playing with each other, being able to stay healthy out there and everybody staying the same?
It's not easy. You know, last year we started off and we were kind of all just playing as individuals. We had, because it's the linebackers too, so we had 7 guys just playing individually. And it took a lot of, you know, being around each other and loving each other and being 0-4 and realizing, like, hey, I got to play for this dude next to me. Like, Luke Gunderson in his last season, I can't be selfish. He's playing his last season of football more than likely. So why not be on the same page with him? So this year, or towards the end of last year, we figured that out. You know, me, Charlie Larson, Jake Adams, Jopp, all those guys, we're just all on one string playing with each other. And, you know, this year we lost quite a few of those guys, and we got to get that back. And that's done in the offseason, and 7-on-7 and 11-on-11 and lift, just being around each other, cookouts, just any excuse to be around each other. You know, we're going to have guys over this weekend for UFC fights, just knowing the guy next to you and knowing his story, knowing why he wears number 10 and knowing why he's playing football and not basketball, just knowing little stuff about that and loving each other when it's hard. So it's really, really hard to get 7 guys to play as one, but that's what the good teams do, and that's what we need to do.
Keegan Mountain joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. You've always sounded like a veteran, even as a freshman. Now you're a junior. You're an upperclassman. Kind of hard to believe that you're already an upperclassman, but walk me through the UFC deal. What's on the menu? I mean, what are we cooking up at the barbecue this weekend?
So I cook almost every single night at our house. I love cooking. It's like a big hobby of mine. I'd rather cook than have someone else cook for me and eat. So this Saturday, I think we're going to do wings. I'm going to make some wings and sweet potato fries. And I think Gabe is making buffalo chicken dip. And then I might make some cookies.
That's an elite lineup, I'll tell you that. And I'm seeing here, and you got the shirt on, so it made me think of it. From Omaha, Nebraska, you got the 2025 College World Series shirt on. I've been to Omaha one time. It wasn't for the College World Series. It was for the Big Ten tournament. That's a pretty cool environment. Have you been there a ton, being from Omaha?
Yeah, so growing up, my grandparents had season tickets at Rosenblatt before it got moved, so we always went, and now we've got 8 season tickets down at Charles Schwab Field. So that's kind of when I realized I wanted to be a college athlete. I'd say baseball I was probably a little better at growing up, but it just got too boring for me. But, you know, the environment down there, just people going crazy, it's just so fun. And I always have to make it back for a game. But the College World Series is, like, the most fun experience ever. Like, people are like, oh, I don't like baseball, it's boring. You go down there, and it's something else. Like, it's electric, and it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I went down there last weekend, got to see my grandparents, my mom, my siblings. It was really nice. LSU won. I didn't have a team. I was kind of rooting for the underdog in Coastal, but it's how the cookie crumbles.
Yeah, how the cookies that you make crumble, apparently. What kind of cookies are you making? I'm still on the food thing.
Snickerdoodle cookies. That's the best cookie in the world, in my opinion.
Hey, you know what? That's a good under-the-radar cookie. I'm with you on that. It's a little bit underrated.
It is very good. I'm a big oatmeal raisin guy. What a loser. But that's how I roll. I'm a big oatmeal raisin guy. My mom and wife both hate it. Mostly my wife. Keegan Mountain joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. Can you believe it that you're a junior now? It feels like just yesterday you were flying down on special teams, making plays, just trying to get on the field a little bit more on defense full time. Now you are, and you're probably looked at as probably one of the more vocal guys in that secondary, in the leadership class, if you will.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, half of my college football playing career is done, and that's scary because it just feels like yesterday I was moving in at 17 and whatnot, but, you know, it's reality. You can't be a kid forever. You can't be silent forever. Like, if you want things to change, you need to be vocal about it. And I've stepped into a big role as a leader, and that's what I want on my plate. So it's hard, but I love being a leader and bringing guys with and just being a great teammate for the guys around me.
So this is probably a little bit of a different off season for you, being that you're an upperclassman. Can you kind of talk about the differences maybe this off season has been, rather than maybe when you were a freshman and sophomore, maybe listening a little bit more? Now you're the more vocal guy.
Yeah, you know, I can't just show up to meetings 5 minutes before. I like to show up punctually early, 15 minutes early, sit down with Glasgow, sit down with Schmidt, see what we're going to talk about, stay after a bit and talk with them about, okay, what do the guys have concerns about? What are we confused about? How can we explain this better? What can we do? You know, I have to speak up as a leader and a guy who's been here and played and in our secondary, because there's only a couple of us that have done that. So I would like to be a captain this year, and if not, I'll continue being a leader. Coach Schmidt says it all the time. There could be leaders that aren't captains, but, you know, just being more vocal with guys, encouraging them. Because, you know, the strength staff gets on guys, and they're encouraging too, but just hearing from guys who are going through the same thing as you, words of encouragement, you could tell it just helps to hear. When I was a freshman, I had guys. Arshon Willis is a guy who sticks out to me. He was always encouraging me, and he didn't have to. He was in his fifth, sixth year, and he could have just been silent and watched me struggle, but he was always encouraging me, and that'll stick with me forever, and I want to create moments that stick with young guys forever.
Keegan Mountain here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, and one of the things that happens when you show up to interviews early is you're welcome back for a second segment. Do you have time?
Of course.
All right. More with Keegan Mountain right after this on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. We've got Agent Zero joining us live in studio. That's Keegan Mountain, of course. Do you like that nickname? You good with that?
Yeah, it's cool. I like it.
Because you started as 13, was it?
13. Well, when I got here, they put me in 11 till they realized I was going to travel. We only had one 11 in white at the time, so then they put me at 13, and it was whatever. I wore 13 a couple games, 33 a couple games. I can't complain as a freshman, but yeah. I had to push hard to get zero.
Hopefully no torn Achilles. We've seen a lot of that in the NBA. I shouldn't have even said that, but not to put that out there in the internet. But
why zero for you then?
Honestly, I just really think it looks cool. And, you know, I grew up a Michigan football fan, and just past couple years ago, Mikey Sanders still played nickel, wore zero. You know, I'm probably the same exact size as him. He's like 5'10", 180 pounds, and just plays with great technique. And now, obviously, he's at the Commanders. But that's a guy I looked up to and studied as a smaller DB.
Now, with zero, didn't they kind of change the rules with the numbers and things like that with the NCAA? Did they change it? Not this year, but a couple years ago, could wear single digits and things of that? Or was it always – could you always wear that at corner and safety and things of that?
I actually don't know. I think zero – I think we got a zero in 21 or 22.
Okay.
And when I was here, like I said earlier, it was Arshon that wore it, and he left, and I really had to press to get it. Every time I saw some of the GAs that work with equipment, I was like, you got me with zero, you got me with zero. And I think eventually they just got fed up and just gave it to me because they didn't want to hear about it anymore.
There you go. You got to be persistent for sure. And I tell you what, it looks good on you for sure. I think the nickname suits you well. We were talking off the air. You went into the transfer portal for probably like a cup of coffee. You joined a new program for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or whatever. Then you said, I think actually Northern is going to fit me better. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but what was kind of your thought process with that, and how did it all kind of work out for you?
So, yeah, I went to the transfer portal in December, left on no bad blood. Just I wanted to try and play Division I football. I went and told Coach Schmidt. He understood. He gave me a big hug. Was like, I love you, man. If you need anything, text me. Coach Glasgow, same thing. None of the coaches had anything bad to say about me. The trainers had nothing bad. I had nothing bad to say about this place. We had recruits coming in that were texting me like, hey, why'd you leave? And I totally explained to him it was nothing bad. I listened to Coach Irie's interview just a couple weeks ago, and he hit it right on the nail, right on the head. Like, I was rushed. You know, I had 2 weeks to make a decision, and I ended up at a place which was a good place, Eastern Michigan, good place. You know, it just wasn't for me. There was a lot going on in my life at the time, and I learned a lot with this move, but I was there for 2 weeks, decided I wanted to come back and be around people who love me. You know, my best friends in the whole world are here. I would consider the coaches as friends, and the coaches, I love the coaches, and the coaches love me, and they're not afraid to express that. But I came back, and I don't regret the decision, because I learned a lot about my values. I learned, like, I don't value as much have money and the uniforms and the stadium and the facilities and the amount of people that are going to be on the game and being on ESPN more than being happy and being around the people who care for you. And I'll tell anybody that's a high school recruit, a transfer portal recruit, or, you know, looking for a job, like, go to a place where you're valued and not just tolerated. Like, go to a place where they see you as a person more than just a piece. Like, I say it all the time, Coach Schmidt, he loves me, but he loved me the same when I was the 17-year-old coming in, and he didn't even know if I was going to play. And now, same way, he loves me the exact same way now that I'm a 19-year-old going into my third season and I just had 5 interceptions. So places see you. I want a place that's going to see me as more than a cornerback, boundary corner. I want somebody to see me as Keegan, a human being with feelings and values and morals and all of that, more than just football, because there's way more to life than football. So I learned a lot, and I learned that, you know, being around people who love you and want you to get better is better than being around people who just want you to get better for themselves.
That's a fair point. Matt, just a quick follow-up, if I may. Keegan Mountain here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Was it tough to find your inner Keegan, if that makes sense? What's the movie, like, You, Me, and Dupree? They're talking about, like, your Carl-ness, like, your Keegan-ness. Like, was it difficult for you to find that? Or how long did that process take for you kind of within yourself to find your voice, to figure out, hey, this is what I want, this is what I value, these are my morals?
So, you know, growing up, I was always taught by my mom, my dad, my grandparents, like, when something is wrong, don't just wait, sit around and wait for it to get better. Like, do something on it. And, you know, I got there and it was okay, but I sensed something was wrong and that it wasn't a fit for me. So to me, I needed to act on it, and I did. And, you know, I came back and it was hard, you know, seeing guys do workouts and do spring ball and everything and not being able to do it. But I, like I said, I learned a lot about myself, and I learned a lot about being a leader and, you know, seeing things from a coach's perspective. It was hard, you know, I had to go through struggle to figure that out, but I'd rather figure it out now than when I'm in the real world and it's not something where I could do what I did.
Is there a certain timeline that those decisions need to be made? Is it kind of come fast? How's that timeline even work, if you could touch base on that a little bit?
So my initial move, I was in the portal. I think I went in like 2 days after the Division I portal opened. The Division II portal is always open, so you could go in whenever. You won't be eligible to play if you leave, like, mid-season.
Okay.
Like, I can't just leave Northern State after week two and go join Wayne State and then come back to Northern. That's not how it works, but it's always open. Division I isn't even open until, like, late December, and then you have essentially 2 weeks. And, you know, these schools are still playing in bowl games. Like, some of the schools I'm talking to are still playing in bowl games, still playing in the FCS playoffs, all of that, so That's where I just felt super rushed. And the problem was that the school I went to, their schedule ended up, like, I was there, like, on New Year's Day. And most other schools don't start till 2 weeks after that. And then I was there a couple weeks, and I just finished school there. And then I think April 20th came around, and I was able to enter the D1 portal again and sign with a D2 program. So that's kind of the timeline on that.
Gotcha. Keegan Mountain here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And the fact that you can come back here is a really cool thing. If you burned your bridges, maybe you're looking somewhere else. Can you kind of talk about the importance of keeping relationships and doing the right thing and always leaving on good terms? Because that's something you talk about, hey, I want to be known as more than a football player, and you will be. Obviously, when you're in your 20s and 30s and all into your life, you're going to be doing something else. Football does have a death date, unfortunately, but burning bridges is not good for any job long term. Can you kind of talk about the importance of that and how it all kind of worked out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, like, I left and Coach Schmidt was like, hey, I love you, man. Like, text me if you need something, and I needed something, so I texted him. But You know, who am I to say Coach Schmidt doesn't end up at an SEC program or in the NFL, or Coach Glasgow doesn't end up taking a job in the CFL or something like this? So I never had anything bad to say about this place. I mean, that was the first thing I told Coach Schmidt, was like, this place has given me everything. Like, I was nothing before I got here, and I'm leaving as someone. But I mean, it happens to people all the time. People transfer and their coaches put in bad words when they leave. And, you know, all these schools were calling Coach Schmidt, Coach Glasgow, Coach Irie, and they all put in good words. And that's what I respect about this place. And that's why I did come back. And I didn't even look at other schools when I came back, because I knew this is where I wanted to be. But yeah, you know, I could have easily made up some excuse on why I was leaving initially, why I left and burned the bridges and been rude to the coaches, but there's nothing in that. Like, coach, like literally what I just said, Coach Schmidt, text me if you need something. Well, I needed something, and I text him, and that was only available to me because I came to him as a man and told him why I was leaving, and he took it like a man and respected it. So I always have a spot in my heart for Coach Schmidt, because he helped me out when things were hard in my life.
I'm interested to hear from your perspective. You know, you hear the term goals for a season, a new up-and-coming season. My guess is your goals now are a little bit different than when you were a sophomore and a freshman. Can you kind of touch base on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I have a notebook, my football notebook. I have goal sheets on it, and I've got my ones from my freshman and sophomore years on there. And my ones from freshman year were just like, make it on the field, be a good teammate, smile at practice, be grateful for everything. So just basic stuff, you know, entry level stuff. And then last year I saw myself coming into a starter role, and my goals were like, okay, more than three interceptions, less than one touchdown allowed, or less than two touchdowns allowed, start in all 11 games. And now that's evolved into, okay, what do we need to do to be an All-American and an All-Region player, past the All-Conference. And I've got goals with stats and whatnot, but you know, the main goals on there is be a great teammate, be a leader, be grateful for everything. And so it's past, you know, okay, I don't just want to get on the field anymore. I know I'm going to get on the field. I know I'm going to play good football. I hope I'm going to get interceptions, but I want to do what's going to put our team in the best spot to have success. You know, I don't, like, one of my goals is for us to beat these teams who we haven't beat in a while. You know, we did it last year, but can we keep doing it? Can we, you know, kind of flip the rivalry and go do like an Ohio State-Michigan thing? Michigan hadn't beat them in 8 years, and then now it's 4 years. So let's build off of, okay, we hadn't beat Bemidji in however long. Let's keep them out of it, and let's start stacking to where we could say we own Bemidji. Just little stuff like that. It's past getting on the field. I wanna be a great teammate.
And the thing is, even if you don't get the interceptions, your teammates probably will. You've got a lot of new guys coming in to kind of fill in some of those other roles. Trevor Johnson, of course, graduating last year. Looks like this secondary is going to be absolutely loaded. On paper, looks really good.
Right. And, you know, I saw it towards the end of last year. Like, I was getting one or two balls a game from, like, Southwest on. So, whatever, week seven, week eight, whatever that was. Just one ball a game. And, you know, I'm not going to play outside of my assignment to go for an interception, because that's when bad happens. You can't play too fast, or else you're going to give up the big play. So, you know, if I have zero interceptions but our secondary as a whole has 10, 15, and I'm in the right spot every time, so be it. You know, I put my team in a good spot, and I can't force the quarterback to throw the ball to me. It has to come. So, yeah, we have a great secondary with a lot of guys. We just need to be able to mesh and be led right, and that's what I want to do, is help lead us in the right direction and bring the best player I can out of guys like Lorenzo, guys like T.Y., guys like Blake Clay, Job, two of the new safeties we got, and all the linebackers too, because those guys are secondary guys too.
What would you say from your perspective is the identity of the defense? Because I know, you know, there was probably a turning point. Obviously, you mentioned the 0-4, and then things really started to turn around defensively. It seemed to me like you guys were a little bit more physical. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, Coach Schmidt lays out our pillars of the defense, you know, not giving up big plays, getting after the quarterback, forcing turnovers, and stopping the run. But that has to stem from somewhere. So physicality is really our identity, just physicality and playing fast and playing carefree. Like, I'm going to mess up. Jake Adams is going to mess up. We're going to take the wrong gap. We're going to play the wrong coverage every now and then. But as long as you could play fast and play on the same page as each other, we're going to be fine. So I look back to the tunnel walkout against Duluth. Duluth was walked out in front of us, and, you know, we're 2-4 at this time. And we walked out, and we got dudes barking. It's a noon kick, so we got dudes barking, going absolutely bonkers. We're going crazy, and you look over, and they're shocked because they usually do this to teams. And, you know, it was defensive guys doing it. Offensive guys don't go bark on their own. They're pretty, don't like to get touched, don't like to be physical. So it was linebackers and DBs, and that's our identity. Just playing fast, fear-mongering into guys, like just nasty, salty, physical, fast.
The Cleveland Browns of the 1980s, their secondary was the Dogs. And, of course, they have the dog pound now, but the Dogs came from that 80s secondary with Frank Minifield and Hanford Dixon. I know these are names that you probably don't know a whole heck of a lot. I grew up on 80s Cleveland Browns games. My dad's a Cleveland fan. Do you guys have a nickname for your secondary yet? Are you working on something?
So Coach Glasgow has coined us the Alpha Dogs. I don't know if I like it or not. We've been trying to come up with a nickname other than that, but I don't know. Like, last year we would walk out to the game, and me and Chuck and, you know, guys like Matt Baker, we were just yelling street fight because that's what it is. Like, it's not – like, back to the UFC thing, like, we're playing a game. Those dudes are fighting. Like, I want to channel that fight inside of me when it's not a sporting contest anymore. You know, fourth quarter, we're bloody, we're beat. Like, channel the fight, not a competition. Go out there and fight. So we'll see if who our new Will backer will be, because I'll spend a lot of time with him, and we'll see if that street fight can hang around
for sure. And you know, you mentioned kind of the street fight, and you get late in the game and things of that, you're tired and things of that, but you want to fight for the guy next to you. Is that what these kind of off-season workouts and things of that prepare you for late in the season?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. This morning, you know, it's raining a whole lot, and got to be ready to audible. So instead of going out on the field and running, we go upstairs and probably do the hardest workout we've done this summer on the assault bikes. And, you know, it sucked, but when things get hard, I look over and I'm like, I'm not doing this for me anymore. I'm doing it for this freshman who sacrificed his time to come up here for the summer. I'm doing it for this guy in his fifth or sixth year of eligibility. So that's all it is like remembering what you're doing it for. And it is a street fight in the fourth quarter when in game 11, when, you know, I just was hurt and off the field for two drives, and now it's a tie game and it's a fourth quarter and we have to come up with a stop. Like, it's not easy, and it's so easy to just say, like, man, somebody get me, tap on my helmet. But, like, that's not who I want to be. That's not what our identity to be. Like, you're never going to be 100%, so just fight through it.
I was going to say, you had an incredible season last year, and very seldom were you 100%. You're always dealing with a little something here, a little something there, but you just battled and battled. I mean, the Mankato game, it was early that you went out of that game. I think it was Mankato. And just found a way to get back in and just say, I'm leaving it on the field there for my brothers. Final one before we get you out of here. How jacked are you for the first game of the season against USF? I mean, they're a really good football team. They kind of put one on you guys a little bit that second game of the season last year. How excited are you for the season opener?
Yeah, I mean, that's a game that I've had circled for since last year happened. You know, they're a great program, talented team, coached really well. But, you know, last year, after I got done playing against them, I couldn't say that was a better football team than us. They beat us, and partially because we beat ourselves, but we weren't ourselves that game. You know, we were still young. That was the second game under Coach Hine. We didn't have an identity anywhere. And yeah, they just put it on us. And, you know, I'm not taking away from their win because they whooped us, and I'll tell them 10 times out of 10 that they whooped us fair and square. But this is one that I really want back. I've got a buddy that plays receiver there, so that'll be fun. But I really, like, they were a 9-3 football team last year. Beat Mankato, probably one loss against Minot away from being in the postseason. So I wanna get after those dudes. You know, they've got a really talented quarterback and in his last year, and I wanna kinda end their year before it even starts.
How important is it for you to, you know, get off to a faster start this year?
It's huge. You know, that's what we met about today, is we watched a ton of USF's first drives, and how do we start off hot in the season, but how do we start off hot in games. You know, we were always a second half team in all our games and in the season. But if we could start how we finish and just do that all year, then we're in really good shape.
Well, you're already in good shape. You're in midseason form. I feel like you could play a football game right now.
I mean, yeah, I could play a football game whenever. December,
yep.
Christmas time, New Year's Day, it don't matter. Easter, just call my phone and I'll go cover.
All right, man. I'm so appreciative that you took the time out of your busy schedule to join us here in studio. I'm really looking forward to your junior campaign, your senior campaign, this season in general as a team. Final thoughts before we get you out of here?
No, I'm just blessed, grateful to be here. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Keegan Mountain joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Talk some Smitty's baseball and wrap up the Hub after the Hump Day installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And sticking around with the football motif here, this is breaking news coming out of the NSIC. Marcus Hansen, two-time Defensive Player of the Year, defensive end, Bemidji State. He has entered the transfer portal. I think he was in the portal for quite some time. He's officially out of the portal. He's got a new home, Mankato. That's right. So two-time Defensive Player of the Year at the defensive line for Bemidji State has officially entered the portal to Minnesota State. So interesting stuff there, and the rich get richer, as they say.
Yeah, staying in the conference, we were talking off the air. I mean, here's a guy that had 17 and a half sacks in a couple years there at Bemidji State. So big-time player, that's a big addition for them, and I guess it sucks for the rest of the conference because you're going to have to block that guy.
Yeah, he is an absolute terror for sure. All right, Aberdeen Smitty's baseball, they were in the mix there yesterday down south in Sioux Falls, and this was one of those games where both pitching staffs were basically putting up some really, really good numbers, or numbies, as Matt McClure would say. Big fan of that. And four shutout innings. I think it was even five to start this game. Both offenses kind of got a little bit clicking towards the back half of the game. Smitty's are trailing 3-2 going into the seventh. They extend the game into extra innings where they'd eventually win it there in nine, winning it 8-6, your final score. Michael Dutenhofer goes 5 1/3, surrenders 5 hits, 3 runs. Also struck out 5 there in the victory. Levi Hoffman, 2-for-4 with a couple of runs batted in. Ridley Waldo, 1-for-3 with a couple of runs batted in, finally putting that losing streak to bed. Nice gutty performance there by the Smitty's yesterday.
Yeah, big-time performance. They got a great pitching outing there from Dutenhofer, and they just did enough there in extras to come away with the win. I saw a video on the Smitty's Twitter or Facebook page. J.L. Avilas trying to beat a ball coming home. He looks like he's dead to rights and just avoids a tag at home. Slides underneath the catcher's legs and was home safe. I mean, those are the kinds of little plays this time of the season that you're looking for. You could tell he's all jacked up after this, and just a great win for the Smitty's in that first one there yesterday.
Of course, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen, and I mean, we had him in studio, a month ago, something like that, and he was talking about a guy that wow, that's an incredible play by him. And we asked him, is there a player that you model your game after, and he mentioned El Mago, Javier Baez, and I was just talking to him, like, you kind of remind me of Javier Baez,
yeah.
And a play like that is a Javi Baez-esque play. He'd be smiling on that one. So Smitty's are back in action tomorrow against Renner Post 307, 4-6 respectively, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen.